You were listening to a Pleasure Podcast. For more from our sex podcast collective, visit pleasurepodcasts.com.
I'm Tristan Taramino, and this is Sex Out Loud.
That's why I'm literally writing a whole book about my gender.
My mom and I were on BBC together talking about sex work and disability, which is something I never thought I would ever do.
Where do we learn about how to react to bodily fluid?
People have abortions more than we want to admit, and abortion is beyond healthcare. It's really body autonomy.
Someone talks about porn ruining sex. The question for me is, which porn?
I don't want anybody to fetishize my Jewishness who wouldn't stand next to me at a march.
I just wanted to show polyamory in a way that looks like polyamory.
If you're excited by sexual pleasure and sexual politics, you've come to the right place.
I've been this radical queer agnostic theologian for a long time.
They think that Muslims don't have sex.
There is a very specific history of racism and anti-blackness in this country.
I don't know who started this myth that after people are sexually assaulted, they never want to fornicate again.
We really don't think that change happens without knowing what we're for and not just what we're against.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud, everyone. Oh, we are going to talk about one of my favorite subjects of all time. Can you guess what it is? You're going to guess a few things and you're going to be right because I have a few favorite subjects, but I'll tell you what it is. It's threesomes. I really, really, really like threesomes, which is probably why I'm in a relationship where there are three people, me being one of them. Go figure. So let me tell you about my guest. Stella Harris is a certified intimacy educator and sex coach who uses a variety of tools to guide and empower her clients. And she teaches everything from pleasure anatomy to communication skills to kink and BDSM. As a speaker, Stella has appeared at conferences across the US and Canada, as well as at numerous universities and various broadcast media. Stella is the author of two books, Tongue Tied, Untangling Communication in Sex and Kink, and her newest book, The Ultimate Guide to Threesomes. Welcome to Sex Out Loud, Stella.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Oh, you wrote a book about threesomes, and it's the best book about threesomes. There are a few others out there, but I have to say this is like incredibly thorough.
Thank you.
Yeah. It's like you can tell you're passionate about it because you kind of leave no stone unturned. And it's like, it is really definitive, I think, for people. It's a definitive guide, people.
An ultimate guide, if you will.
An ultimate guide, if you will. Who came up with that title? So I want to dig into it. I think let's start with, what is the myth of the organic threesome? This is something you talk about in your book.
Yeah, I feel like it's one of the number one things I hear from people, both in my personal life and from students and clients. You know, people want a threesome, but they just want it to just happen. Like they haven't thought through what that means. They just sort of assume a threesome will happen to them. Or that, you know, they're just going to sort of get drunk with some buddies and all end up in bed together. And while that certainly happens on occasion, that also seems to come with some regrets after the fact. And too many times, and I'm sure you've seen this as well as a sex educator, people come to educators after they've done something they didn't feel great about and want to know what went wrong instead of sort of on the front end figuring out how to do something that everyone will feel good about. Yeah. And so this idea of spontaneity is one that I think leads to a lot of that kind of trouble. And I think that some of the threesomes that look spontaneous are often when people have laid a lot of groundwork that is sort of invisible. I mean, you mentioned you're in a relationship with three people, so it probably doesn't
with
take
two people. I was counting myself. I don't know why, but yes.
There you go. You probably don't take a week of negotiation, you know, for each time you're going to fall into bed together.
Right.
And that's because there has been groundwork. And so that's part of, I think, what people don't always see is that folks have done a lot of the groundwork, even if that groundwork is, you know, being involved in sex positive communities and being a really sharp communicator and sort of developing some invisible expertise.
Yeah. And also, I think the threesome is this, it's this liminal space where monogamous people get to be non-monogamous, right? So often people will have a threesome and say, we did that. It was a one-time thing. Like we still consider ourselves and identify as monogamous. So it's this interesting space where you have to confront some of the basics around non-monogamy just to have this sort of fantasy fulfilled, even if it's only one time.
Yeah. And I think that that brings up another one of my favorite topics, which is this sort of tension between identities and actions, because you hear that around queerness as well. You know, can people have a same-sex encounter without having to identify as, you know, gay or lesbian or queer? And I think that's right on about the threesomes as well. It is sort of this chance to maybe take a little vacation into openness without changing your identity or changing your conception of your relationship.
But you still need a passport for that vacation. Like, you know what I mean? You need to make some arrangements is what I want to say.
Well, and that's part of why, you know, when you talk about sort of monogamous couple wanting to have a threesome, that's part of why I address sort of couples privilege and do a little extra talking to people who are in a long-term monogamous relationship who want to try this, because I think that is where a lot of the pitfalls can be. And that is what can lead to a lot of the sort of stereotypes we have about couples who are looking for threesomes is not, you know, necessarily coming from a bad place, but people who really just don't have the right tools and don't know better.
Right, right. Exactly. So if we were trying to convert the audience and pitch this idea of threesomes are great for everyone, what are the selling points for you?
Well, I certainly think they are great. I don't know that I would say they are for everyone. I think sort of my stance with all of the sex things, whether it's open relationships, kink, threesomes, is I want everyone to know what all of their options are and to be able to choose freely. And I also don't necessarily think one thing is superior to another thing, as long as you've had the freedom and safety to decide what's for you. That said, I do think that threesomes are great and people should give them a try. As you said, it's a way to try something brand new. It is a way to explore with new types of people, either variety within what you're used to or something new entirely. It is a way to celebrate differences and contrasts of multiple bodies. I really like the voyeurism and exhibitionism element. So much of a voyeur, I will sort of sometimes kind of forget to participate because I'm enjoying watching so much. And then I remember I'm supposed to dive in and help out. I enjoy getting to see, you know, if there's an existing partner of mine in the mix, I like getting to see them with other people. That's part of how I'm wired. Because you don't, you know, there's a limited number of views you have of somebody when you are the one having sex with them. You know, even if you put mirrors in the room, there's a limit to your angles. And so I like getting to see people in that way.
Yeah, yeah. It's funny that you mentioned being a voyeur and then sometimes forgetting you're part of the threesome. This was my experience when I was shooting threesomes for my porn movies. Mm-hmm. Is, you know, basically porn professionals do the same things over and over again. So they have kind of a set of skills and they just activate that set when you say, we're doing this kind of scene. And often for my work, like I had to sort of deprogram them a little bit and say, don't do the threesome that you did 4 times this month. Like I want a different thing. Quite frankly, don't have the sex that you had 10 times this month. I want something slightly different. And you don't have to get into these weird positions and open up and do all that. But it was hard to break them of the habit that everyone had to be doing everything with every available tool on their body at once. Mm-hmm. Right? Like at some point, I would say like, you can relax or you can actually step back or you can talk dirty to them while you're watching the scene or just watch and get off on it. Because I think that's the other thing is that I don't want porn to set people up for these unrealistic expectations that like all holes must be filled, all hands must be working, everything must be going on simultaneously at all times.
Yeah, that sounds exhausting. I am all for taking breaks. And in fact, that's part of why I like multi-person sex. Like I we'll definitely take a break and go get a cup of tea, you know, and then come back. And it's like, great. Like, everybody is entertained while I'm taking a minute.
Right. Yeah. So I think it's, I think that we can get really eager and then think, oh my God, I have to be doing something, or feel awkward if we're not doing something at that very second. And I think that's okay. It doesn't have to be awkward, because you can always watch, or you can always be watched.
Yeah. And I think that that is probably one of the things that takes the most getting used to, because this is something I run into with couples who come in for coaching, is there is this feeling like you need to be reciprocating at all times. People have a very hard time just relaxing and receiving, because they think they need to reciprocate. And then I think that creates the dynamic that you're talking about in threesomes. And so that learning that you can sit back and relax, I think that is a muscle that takes a while to develop. And I think it can trigger what a lot of folks feel around, you know, insecurities of being left out or ignored. And so, yeah, your first time or two, just sort of sitting back and watching can take some getting used to.
So I absolutely love that you have a chapter called Baby Steps to Explore Threesomes. Okay, here's why I love this. There's several reasons. One is that I feel like, just like with anything new that you're introducing, especially if you're a couple, people go too fast, too far. They don't dip their toes in the water. They dive in, and that often can, it can just bring up a whole new set of problems. Whether if, you know, if you waded in, you might have been able to see some of them coming and address them along the way. But if you just jump in head first, there could be more issues. But also, I think that this is actually a radical modeling of behavior and ethos, which, like, we could all use in our sex lives, with and that is like creativity around enacting sexual fantasies. We all have these sexual fantasies, and often we get stuck when someone says, oh, I don't know if I'm into that. And it's as if we then have to take it off the table, be resentful, keep pursuing it, whatever. But you actually have some great suggestions for how to have a threesome without having a threesome.
Yeah. And I think this is in part, yes, because I think people always have a very narrow idea of what the fantasy needs to be. And that can lead to some disappointment. But also, there's just so many ways that you're not sure how you're going to react when there's another person there. And so in part, it is sort of a favor you are doing to your future potential third, is to sort of know what you're getting into first. And yeah, so I suggest people do things like, you know, you were just talking about porn. You know, a first step could just be watching porn together if you've never done that. You know, how do you feel watching your partner see someone else naked, get turned on by somebody else? You know, if you're ready for the next step, watching live cam shows or engaging in phone sex, you know, other ways with sort of really tidy boundaries to engage with other human beings. When, you know, going places and doing things is on the menu again. I often suggest that folks try out going to strip clubs. You know, have you ever been in the room with another naked person?
And you can be sexual with someone without taking your clothes off. And again, with rules, right? There are rules in strip clubs about not being able to touch people. And so, yeah, I've definitely suggested that to people. Like, if you want to be sexual with a woman, but not quite be ready to take off your clothes and touch each other's genitals, why not go get a lap dance from a professional, which is a boundary, and see how that first step feels.
And I even, you know, back up a little bit more than that, because I had learned with some clients that they even need steps before that. So I even suggest getting comfortable with non-sexual nudity if that's not something you're used to. You know, go to spas, go to nude beaches, just get used to bodies. Because a lot of folks, I mean, I think, you know, when you are a person who is used to seeing their friends naked and going to sex parties, it can be easy to forget that most people just don't see naked bodies. It's certainly not in our culture. And there's plenty of places if you grow up, you know, you're at nude beaches and nude spas with your family, you know, and it's just part of life. But if you grow up, you know, in America, that is not the usual way of things.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. I can remember bringing a partner to a big swing event where nudity was allowed kind of anywhere because it was a closed space. And their first reaction was just like, I just from walking from here to there saw like 30 people naked, which has already broken my record of how many people I've seen naked. Mm-hmm. So you do forget that, right? That we don't have a lot of opportunities to see other people naked.
And to see a variety of bodies. You know, if you are seeking out, you know, things like porn, and of course there is some really great porn that offers a bit more variety, but you have to go looking for it. So I think, you know, something like a nude beach is also a great way to just see what real people look like.
Right.
Which can especially be helpful for people who are feeling insecure about their own bodies. Because if you're only comparing yourself to something like a mainstream magazine, you might not see yourself represented there.
Right, right. Okay, we're going to take our first commercial break. And I want to thank my sponsors who are sponsoring a show where we openly talk about threesomes. Thank you, sponsors. When we come back, which is just going to be, it's going to be like a minute or two, we're going to talk to Stella more about threesomes. We have only just begun. So I've talked about Intensity by Pour Moi before, and I want to remind you, it's a sexual health and stimulation device that looks like a vibrator, but it is so much more. It actually tightens and tones your pelvic floor muscles. The Intensity offers both internal and external vibration, so you've got that too, and you could experience lots and lots of pleasure while using it. It's like a workout that feels really good. Do you know, or are you someone who isn't that keen on getting a traditional vibrator, but you'd love some help to do your Kegels? Intensity is a great choice for you. Intensity is manufactured in the US to medical grade standards, and its manufacturer has medical roots and makes a variety of FDA cleared devices to support pelvic floor health and cure incontinence without surgeries or pills. Pour Moi is offering our listeners an additional $25 off of Intensity when you go to pourmoi.com and enter code Tristan at checkout. You can use this code along with any code on their website. That's $25 off on top of all ongoing promotions when you go to pourmoi.com, pourmoi.com, and use promo code Tristan. Intensity by Pour Moi. Kegels with a kick. Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. Talking threesomes with Stella Harris today. You know, in addition to this chapter on baby steps to explore threesomes, I also love that you have an entire chapter on exploring threesomes without other people. I just think it offers people options. And I don't, you know, it's like, I don't always know that that's thought about in a smart way in a how-to guide. Like, in other words, a how-to guide is like, this is the assumption. You want this thing, and there's this like one way to do this thing. But you really, you like step back from that and say, wait, there's actually a lot of different ways to do this thing.
I feel like that maybe encapsulates sort of, that could be the one-liner of what most of my work is. You know, people come to me saying, I want this thing. And I'm like, okay, well, let's back up a little bit and see, like, is that what you want? Let's talk about why you think you want that. And what are you hoping to achieve with that? And there's almost always a bunch of layers underneath. And so I like to do that with threesomes as well and have these other options for exploring. You know, what are you hoping to achieve with this? Is it lots of stimulation? Well, then there's, you know, ways you can get there with one partner and some toys. Is it, you know, the idea of some novelty? Is it the idea of something that's a little taboo? So really backing up and exploring, what is it you're hoping to get from this? And is including other people the best way to do that?
Right. Yeah. I mean, I also think with the explosion of camming, and quite frankly, you know, anyone can be a cam girl if you're willing to violate a little terms of service, just a short little thing, because we have all these video platforms now that are available to us. I'm sure it's not a violation of FaceTime, but I didn't say that. But I actually gifted as a present for one of my lovers a camming session with a sex worker. And I like sort of negotiated and gave him the hard limits. And then my partner then sort of came into the scene and I basically just kind of watched. And it was really, really hot. And you know, it was in real time. And it was, I think it was as hot as a threesome with people.
That sounds like a fantastic gift. And I think, you know, if there's any silver linings from the last year, I do think it's that people are exploring their digital options more, whether it's, you know, seeing professional cam workers or just learning ways to be virtually sexy with their partner or partners. And as you mentioned, you know, terms of service, I remember seeing, you know, early on, the outrage when people were realizing, well, what are you allowed to do on these different platforms? And do you really mean to tell me I can't have a sexy chat with my partner who is somewhere else right now?
Right.
And that, I think, brought it home for a lot of folks who maybe are not usually, you know, clued into what's affecting sex workers or sex educators.
Yeah, yeah. And this is why also we have to decriminalize sex work, people, and stop with this quote unquote protective legislation that actually harms sex workers more than it, quote, helps or rescues them.
Yeah, hear, hear.
Okay, so I read your book on kind of two levels. So I was reading it as, okay, here's a guide to threesomes. Let me see what kinds of issues she talks about, where she goes, what are the tips, what are the techniques, what are the examples from her practice as a sex coach, what is she going to tell us, like some light bulb moments, right? So I'm reading it on that one level. But then I was reading it on another level, a sort of more seeing the threesome as a super hot sexual experience, but also a microcosm of social constructs in an oppressive society. Okay, deep breath. Let me just explain myself, because I know that sounds very over intellectual and maybe even crazy. But as I, you know, there are common pitfalls and common issues that people run into with threesomes. And many of them are known already. And of course, you have a whole chapter on that, right? Because it's like a troubleshooting guide. You need to also tell people, oh, by the way, you might want to think about blank. But as I was reading them, I actually began classifying them in my mind by like different forms of oppression. This doesn't sound sexy now that I'm saying it. It's coming out of my mouth. Like it doesn't at all. But, and I assure you this book is sexy, but so I want to go through some common pitfalls and myths, and I'm going to use this framing device of oppression, and hopefully I'm not going to lose like 1,000 listeners right now. Okay. So I want to start with sexism and the myth and the mythology that all women are bisexual, and so they're always up for a threesome.
Well, you definitely caught on to something that was in there intentionally, but that I wanted it to be there for people who wanted to see it, but to not scare anyone away who just wants the guidebook to threesomes. And this is one of the benefits of doing this kind of work, is you have sort of a very nice carrot that gets people to pick up the content. And then sometimes you can squeeze in a little bit more education as well.
It was a good technique. I picked up on it. I didn't, you know, I thought you might be like, Tristan, it's a book on threesomes, but there is a subtext. And if you want to read it, you can, and you can learn some things.
Yeah. So, you know, for that, the first point that you bring up, you know, not all women are bisexual. I mean, that is just one that sort of personally has been irritating me since my teen years when I came out as bisexual. That was just, you know, the first thing that people would say to me. You know, not all people necessarily, but enough people that it was annoying, you know, oh, you're bi, you must be into threesomes. And the one doesn't follow from the other. And then, yes, this notion that all women are bisexual is, you know, something we have to thank sort of bad media takes on bad science for. You know, which is true with just about everything to do with sex and sexuality. It is sort of poorly studied and then reported on even worse.
I mean, I've had this come up so many times, I can't count them anymore, which is that a couple comes to me and the woman's like, I don't want to have a threesome because like I'm not into women, or I don't want to have sex with another woman. And I was like, oh, you think you have to have sex with another woman? No. You get to actually call the shots about what you do and don't do. You know what I mean? So if you're telling me, I'm curious about kind of making out with a woman, but I don't want to have sex with her. Great. You can still have a threesome, right? So it's like built. So I feel like they're, because that's, and that's really popular among mainstream swingers, everyone must be bi. There are women who feel really alienated by that because that's just not their thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, that's sort of part of in some of the sort of baby step sections I talk about, you know, what if your threesome was three people making out? What if it was exchanging massages? What if it's three people snuggling and watching a movie? I mean, maybe that's just my kink, but I think that can be an awful lot of fun. So finding all of these ways to explore with multiple bodies that are maybe not sex at all, or certainly not the kinds of sex that you're not into. So I think exploring those options is really important. I got to be part of someone's first threesome at a play party once. There was another woman who'd never kissed a woman before, and also her partner was there. And the three of us played a bit, and nothing ever got below the waist, and most of our clothes stayed on. And it was still a ton of fun. And she got to sort of try a few things in this, you know, doubly safe environment. And it was a space she was comfortable with. A partner of hers was there. And she got to try something new. And that's sort of one of the reasons I think threesomes can be great for folks. If you are interested in exploring your sexuality, you know, just going home with someone who you're not sure what to do with can be awfully intimidating. But if you've got someone else there you're already familiar with and can sort of fill in the gaps for you, that can be a really great form of training wheels.
Yes. And that's number two on my list, actually, which is sexual normativity. You ask us as readers, again and again in this book, to really question how we're defining sex and therefore how we're defining sex in a threesome.
Yeah, I just did a talk for a group about a week ago, I guess. And one of the questions from someone in the group was saying, it was a heterosexual couple, and the woman was telling me that, you know, her partner doesn't get consistent erections anymore. And they thought that that meant that their dream of having a threesome was just over. They didn't have any options. And I then explained a whole host of things that I, you know, was suggesting y'all could still do if you wanted to. And that's something that happens even, you know, with just couples coaching clients on a really regular basis. If you're used to sex being one thing and something comes up that makes that one thing not possible anymore, folks can feel like their whole sex life is over. So I think it's really valuable to have a broad definition of sex, even if you're only ever going to have sex with one person. And then certainly if you're going to start including other people, a broad definition of sex can help lead to a broad definition of threesomes.
Right. I mean, we obviously have this sort of heteronormative problem in general, which is that not just dick, hard dick equals sex. And if and if the dick's not hard, it's not sex, or it's foreplay or some other bullshit ideas. So I think that like we have to constantly like press back against that. Also, because what if intercourse, say, is not on the table? What if the dick does get hard, but you're not gonna have intercourse because that's what you've negotiated, right? Because that's the other thing. You get to negotiate the limits of this. If you're like, I don't know if I want to see my partner fuck or get fucked, great. Let's do it some other way, right? I mean, you call the shots.
Yeah. I mean, and that's something I tell, again, individuals, you know, and folks interested in threesomes. It's like, if you're worried about whether or not you're going to get an erection, just keep your pants on. Like, don't even bring that into play and right. Be amazed at how many other things are an option. And ultimately, knowing all of those other options and feeling comfortable about them will, in fact, you know, you can sort of reverse psychology your penis there and erections might get easier because, you know, yes. The performance pressure is the enemy of the erection. But if you get used to enough having a backup plan, then some of that pressure is off.
I've seen the reverse psychology work many, many a time. Take it off the table. Oh, look, all of a sudden you're, yeah. Okay, so then this leads me to next on my list, which is homophobia. What does homophobia have to do with threesomes? Well, this comes up when a threesome is two cis, straight identified men and a woman. And the men, and so many women will initiate and say, hey, this is the kind of threesome I want. And men will push back and say, I don't want to see another dude naked. I don't want to touch another dude. I don't want to have sex with another dude. Again, built-in assumptions. But you've got some guidelines for that.
Yeah, this sort of reminds me of the joke you'll see online of, you know, a man says he's interested in anal sex. And so then the woman shows up with a strap on. Right. And it's like, well, that's not what I meant. And right. And we get the same thing with like, oh, a man says, I want a threesome. And the woman's like, well, great. Let's bring another man in. He's like, oh, wait a minute. That's not what I meant. It's just this sort of narrow view that fits into all of your views of sex and sexuality and sort of expects that your personal fantasies are the default and are how things are done. And I've seen this play out. I have seen the words come out of someone's mouth like, okay, well, we can do such and stuff, but no gay stuff. What does that even mean? You know, I mean, I wish all it took for people to become queer was just to be in the presence of another penis. Like,
I know.
That would be great. But wow. that would fix
a lot of problems. That would make me happy. Yeah.
But you know, I don't always get what I want, and that is not how it works. And yeah, so if that's where you're coming from, that is maybe not for you. And also, you know, that could be one of those places where it's time to, you know, step back and do some of that other work. You know, can you experience non-sexual nudity? You know, what about, are you watching porn that has men in it? You know, because a lot of cis men are watching porn with cis men in it, and that does not seem to have made them gay yet. So why is it different if they're in the room? And as you said, as you know, with the case, if there's two women, is you get to negotiate what you're doing. Just because there's another penis in the room doesn't mean you are, you know, required to give a blowjob. You know, nothing is required in a threesome. What I do mention in the book that I think is helpful is if you can be at least playful, you know, and have some playful camaraderie with the other person. And be friendly with them because
that seems pleasant.
Like that I think is kind of the bare minimum, you know. Yeah. You don't want like animosity, giving side eye to someone you're in bed with. That is not ideal. But no, all people do not need to be having equal amounts of sex with each other. One person can absolutely be the center of attention. You can negotiate who's touching who. And there are tons of positions you can engage in that, you know, we'll give you a couple of feet distance from the other person if that's what you need.
Yeah, you bring that up and that's good because we said there's different kinds of threesomes. It's like, do you want balls in your face while you're doing this? Or would you rather not? Because you've got positions for both in the book.
Yep, something for everybody.
Okay, so let's talk about something that is very well known in sex positive or swinger or polyamorous communities, but may not be as well known in the sort of general broad public. Is anyone from the general broad public listening? No, I know they are. Yes, they sent me letters. Okay, let's talk about, but we're going to take a break. We're going to take a commercial break. And when we come back, I want to talk about, that was a big lead up, unicorns. So stay with us, everyone. We'll be right back. Spring has sprung, and now it's your turn. Bring a little sunshine into the bedroom with Dipsy. If you're looking to heat things up, there is a story or stories waiting for you. Dipsy is an audio app full of short, sexy stories designed to turn you on. I happen to love it because I love telling and hearing sex stories. I love dirty talk. These things activate my brain and my desire. There's a diverse lineup of stories with all kinds of gender pairings in all different scenarios. And there's a great feature where you can actually choose the setup you want. and you can get the kind of vibe of the story before you start it. For listeners of the show, Dipsy is offering an extended 30-day free trial when you go to dipsystories.com/Tristan. That's 30 days of full access for free when you go to Dipsy, D-I-P-S-E-A, stories.com/Tristan. dipsystories.com/Tristan. Because pleasure is self-care. Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. Today, I am talking with intimacy educator and sex coach Stella Harris about her brand new book, The Ultimate Guide to Threesomes. So I teased this in very awkward ways before the break, but I want to talk about unicorns, how you define a unicorn, and what are some of the myths about unicorns, and if you self-identify as a unicorn, what are some things you should think about?
Yeah. So, I mean, unicorn, they're all mythical, hence the title, but sort of the classic unicorn is a, you know, attractive, youngish, female, bisexual person who will, you know, show up and help you have the threesome of your dreams and then will just go away. And they never had any needs or desires of their own, and they're not going to, you know, bring any drama to your relationship. And we call that a unicorn because that doesn't exist. While there are plenty of, you know, attractive bisexual women in the world, nobody has no needs or desires of their own. And it is unacceptable to expect that of somebody else. And that is sort of why we treat it as mythical, why we then sort of have the term unicorn hunter that is sort of a derogatory term, who expect these people with no needs of their own to exist. And that said, it is a term that has had its own sort of reclaiming, as many terms do. I know I and many other people will sort of tongue-in-cheek refer to ourselves as unicorns. And it is sort of a helpful term to explain, you know, a person who is willing to join a couple in a threesome scenario. So on the one hand, they do exist, but also not by the sort of classic definition. We need to reframe what it means a bit and make space for everyone to bring their own needs to the table.
Again, I want to shout out the sex workers of the world. The closest thing to a unicorn, couples out there who are listening, the closest thing to a unicorn is a sex worker who will come in and who will not cause drama in your relationship and who will meet your needs, not that they don't have their own needs, but who will meet your needs and have really, really good boundaries. So if you really want that unicorn, you should pay for them.
And still be very nice and respectful to them, even if you're paying. Exactly, it doesn't get you out of that piece.
And like also make them come, like, you know, give it your best effort. Duh. And so, but then there's a lot of scandal and a lot of debate within communities who know about unicorns, about it being this fantastical thing, about when a couple meets a bisexual woman, they just assume she's available to them. You know, these things that really, again, are based on, they're based on heteropatriarchy, and we really have to kind of push back at them.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, I think with a lot of things to do with any flavor of open relationships or threesomes or any of this, it's not that everyone is terrible. I think there's sort of a handful of prolific bad actors that can give people a really bad name. And so there have been just enough couples sort of doing the sleazy kind of unicorn hunting where they're not being respectful of people, that it turns folks off when they see a couple looking for a third. There have just been enough people doing it poorly that there is this flat out skepticism. Again, especially, you know, amongst communities who see a lot of that, you know, in any sort of swinger or poly group, you know, you've just seen enough of it that you're instantly skeptical when that's how somebody frames what they want. And then you have people sort of needing to prove that, oh, but not like that. Which is, you know, hopefully what I'm doing with the book is offering some steps so that people can fulfill that desire, which is not inherently a bad thing to desire, but making sure you're doing it in a way that is not turning off your prospects.
So What are the common pitfalls that your sex coaching clients run into that, you know, you've had a breadth of experience as a sex educator? What do you think are some of the top pitfalls that people run into around threesomes?
A lot of people dive in before they're ready. You know, they think it's a hot fantasy and they decide to go for it. And they often haven't talked about it enough between them. Oftentimes one person is more into it than the other. And someone is just trying to be a good sport. I see a lot of that. And that is not unique to threesomes. That can happen with a lot of kinds of sex or kink or fantasies. You know, there are some things, you know, you can probably go to a restaurant you don't love or see a movie you're not crazy about. You can't really just sort of grit your teeth and put up with a threesome you don't want to have. I certainly don't recommend that you try. So people just, you know, doing it for the other person, I see a lot of, and that doesn't tend to go well. People running into feelings they weren't expecting to have, you know, finding in the moment they're feeling really jealous or really insecure. That is an awkward thing to find out when there's another person already in the room. Or noticing things like feeling left out or feeling like you don't know what to do with yourself, and not having thought through in advance, you know, enough tools and techniques to help get you through that.
Self-soothing, yes.
Yeah.
You may need to self-soothe in the middle of your threesome, so come prepared. Right?
Bring a big teddy bear, you know, and then they're always there for whoever's left out. But even just little things that you might not think to negotiate in advance, like what happens if someone needs a bathroom break? Mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. Like I'd said, I love being able to take a break with and know the other people won't get bored because they can carry on without me. But coming back into the room and seeing the other people busily engaged is not something everybody wants to experience. Thinking through little logistical details like that, like, do you want to negotiate that if someone needs a break, everything stops?
Everything takes a break, right? There's no just two people alone having some kind of sexual exchange.
And that's right. Often easier when folks are new to these things, so that you don't have that moment where you're like, oh, they look happy without me, or I don't know how to reintegrate myself into this.
And I think you need to take care of yourself, sort of bottom line. I remember this threesome. Back in the day, I was with my dominant. I was a submissive. Yes, folks, this is decades ago. No, you're not going to get that again. And this boy, this leather boy was sort of like sniffing around us. And finally she was like, you know, do you want to play with him? And I was like, sure, great. And as we got into it, it became enormously clear that the boy was really there for my dominant. The boy was attracted to my dominant. I found out later that the boy was only into other mask people, really didn't like know what to do with femmes. But that unfolded like as it was happening, mm-hmm. which is a, you know, it's a blow to the ego and it is a feeling of being left out. It's an intense experience. And I had to sort of make a call in the middle of it. Can I like step out of this? And can this become a twosome? And can I like occupy myself elsewhere? Do I feel okay about that? Or does the whole thing have to stop because this isn't what I signed up for? And you may need to make that call. You know, for me, I felt comfortable saying, you know what? I think I could be better used somewhere else. and I just stepped out of it and was like, these guys have to have their sexual exchange. And this is just making it awkward because this boy has like literally is like, with me. You may have to do that. Like that's a real thing.
I had a threesome where, I mean, calling it a threesome is going to show to you what a loose definition of threesomes I had, but I had a planned potential threesome that I was pretty sure was sort of my presence was facilitating the other two people getting together. Oh. And I brought a book. I'm like, you know what? I'm pretty sure I know how this is going to be, and I'm fine with it. And sure enough, I curled up by the fireplace, and two people had sex in front of me, and I occasionally handed them a bottle of lube, and everybody was happy.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you really, I mean, you have to be able to sort of go with the flow, right? It didn't feel like I could throw a temper tantrum right then and there, nor did I want to. But I think if you're just starting out, or if you haven't had any kind of group or multi-partner sex, that could hit deeply in someone, right? That could hit deeply.
Absolutely. And I mean, I think you and I are probably, you know, folks who can go with the flow from, you know, how much of this we've been up to, but that is not something I would expect most people to roll with in the moment. And I would hope most people wouldn't have to. I mean, that I think is one of the things you do want to negotiate in advance is everybody equally into everybody? Mm-hmm. And if not, do you want to negotiate the kind of threesome that intentionally has some sort of imbalance of intimacy or imbalance of sexuality? And if you don't like the sound of that either, then sort of is it one of these other scenarios where maybe you sort of help people get started and then, you know, go do your own thing? Or maybe it doesn't even need to start with three people.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm reflecting back on this relationship that I'm in, that I am like equally into both of the people. And so for me, at least, my experience is that it never feels like it's like the balances are off or something. Like it just truly feels like this is it. Like I'm not in it for this one and I'm going along for the ride for that one. Or I'm not like, you know, it just feels like I'm equally into the two people. And I think that's even easier if it's not a relationship. It's just like a one night stand, to just assess it. Like, do I really just want to bang this guy? But I'm going to be like, yeah, sure. Threesome. I'll do it. It's just not going to end up well for anyone, including you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Now, a thing that people ask me about all the time and that you have some really good resources for in the book is, how do I find a person to have a threesome with? So give us some of your tips.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, one of the sort of easiest answers for any kind of dating these days is just the dating apps. They are so prolific now and have such a high adoption rate that whatever you're looking for, there's going to be other people who are looking for that. And especially if you are looking for anything, you know, even remotely alternative, it can help to, you know, choose the right app for that and have that as your screening process, you know, because there's no guarantee, you know, the cute person at the grocery store is going to tick all of the boxes that you would need for multi-person sex. You know, but if you hop on an app that is either specifically aimed for that or that allows you to, you know, state your preferences in your bio, that can really just be one of the best ways. And then, you know, you're not hitting on anybody who is not at least potentially open to the idea.
Right, right. You're not just at some bar and you're like, well, let's go make the pitch.
And honestly, as an introvert, I can't even imagine that for one-on-one dating. I am not going to walk up to a stranger in any situation and just hit on them. But yeah, especially if you want something, you know, a little more avant-garde. And then the other option is, again, when we're doing more hanging out in person, is going to mixers and meetups and parties and clubs where multi-person sex is a thing that's on the table. So meeting folks, you know, who engage in open relationships, who engage in kinky sex, who go to play parties. That is going to be sort of a warmer audience. And again, like there's a lot of things you want to learn about the culture and to think about your approach before you dive in. But those are sort of the two best ways, you know, either get involved with the people who do this sort of thing or try the online method.
Yeah. And I'm kind of the mind, like, don't do this with like your best friend or one of your best friends. That's just a boundary for me, because I just really do want to still be best friends with that person and I don't want anything to get fucked up there. But, I know we feel close to our very close friends, but this may not be the time to sort of let them into your relationship in that way.
People definitely have really strong feelings about whether they want a threesome with someone they know already, or if mm-hmm. they want a complete stranger. But I do think it's a good idea of thinking about, you know, what kind of difficulties is it going to cause in your life if this doesn't go well? You know, coworkers might not be a great choice. Yeah, your closest friends might not be a great choice. Right. I feel like I've had to have sort of the opposite sort of negotiation from what a lot of people have. You know, most people will negotiate with the people they're going to have sex with. My two closest friends and I have both had explicit negotiations that we are not going to have sex with each other. Which is really helpful because we're often at the same play parties together and situations come up where that could sort of happen. And it's really helpful to have a clear set of boundaries of, you know, we might be naked in front of each other. We might be having sex sort of vaguely adjacent to each other.
Right, right.
But not actually with each other, and sort of a one and done tidy boundaries of what's going to happen there.
I love you for that, Stella Harris. No, I really love you for that's modeling really good behavior, because boundaries aren't just for people you're having sex with, and they're not just for sex. Boundaries are with all relationships you have in your life. And really it's just, it makes perfect sense to me that you would negotiate with people to not have sex as much as you would negotiate with people to have sex.
It has been pretty helpful for me.
Now, do you have a favorite threesome that we can ride into the sunset on? Mixed metaphor, I know, but do you want to just share some little snippet to send us off, maybe perhaps to a sexy person who's like listening to this with us or something?
Like a personal experience that I've had?
Or it could be a threesome you heard about. I often like to tell people things I've heard about from other people.
Yeah. Well, I here's one that didn't make it into the book. It was a threesome that I got to watch, actually. Back when parties were a thing, I used to host a monthly sexy kink party at a sex club. And as is typical in most sort of sex clubs that are for everybody, there were certainly all genders and all sexualities there, but it leaned a bit more hetero. And one night in one of the sort of open play spaces, three men started having a threesome with each other, and it was super hot and also something we didn't get to see in that space too often. And an awfully big group of people who were just wrapped with what was happening sort of gathered around and sort of standing in that crowd, sort of a few people leaning on each other, you know, getting this personal sex show. That was sort of probably the hottest threesome that I, you know, experienced without being in. It was very exciting to get to be an audience member for that. And yeah, just see something that I am not usually invited to sex that involves three men, for obvious reasons. So that was really hot. And that's part of what I love. And I know that, you know, going to sex parties is a step beyond what a lot of people want to do. But that is actually something I do sort of suggest in some of my baby step sections. Speaking of negotiations, you can go to a play party and not have sex with anybody. You can go and just watch if you're doing it respectfully and with
all
the
bounds of the space. You can go and keep your clothes on. Unless there are rules about checking your clothes at the door, you can go keep your clothes on and absolutely nothing can happen. And plenty of people do that. I think people think, oh, then I'm going to be the only one and I'm going to kind of stick out because I'm not having sex. Not true. Not true.
Nope. No, even the time I got to go to a bathhouse, you know, it is not the free for all I thought it was going to be. and certainly, you know, at, you know, things like swingers clubs, yeah, a lot of people are dressed to impress. A lot of people keep their clothes on. And it is just so exciting to just get to see what kinds of sex other real humans are having and to sort of get ideas from that and get fantasy fodder from that.
Well, speaking of fantasy, I mean, one of the things I thought about this three-guy threesome, and that's redundant, is talk about your fantasy fulfilling someone else's fantasy. That's what's so lovely about sex parties is that you can be doing something like entirely for you, right? And of your own making, but someone could be watching that who has always wanted to see that and who will in fact record that in their brain.
Yeah, kind of everybody wins. And that's the other thing that I tell the people who are worried about going just to watch is like, the exhibitionists need you. If it is part of their fantasy that they're going to go and have people watch them have sex, someone needs to watch them have sex.
Someone needs to watch. Yes.
So it is a very symbiotic relationship.
Well, thanks so much. I hope you guys check out the book. It's called The Ultimate Guide to Threesomes. It's from Cleus Press. You can get it wherever you buy books. And I especially encourage you to support local and independent bookstores. Thank you so much, Stella.
Thank you for having me. This was great.
You can maybe get help with your own threesome or get some coaching from Stella. Find out more about that at stellaharris.net. That's .net. Yep. On Instagram, she is Stella Harris Erotica. And on Twitter, she is Stella Erotica. Okay, I want to shout out my engineer and editor, A-Rod, at FTC Designs. You can follow him on Twitter and he could do your podcast. He obviously isn't fazed by any kind of content. He's at FTC_designs. New episodes go up on podcast platforms on Mondays. You can find me across all social media at Tristan Taramino, except Facebook. I have divested and I have a much better state of mind for it. So if you need to get me, do not try to get me on Facebook. Until next time, take some time to talk about sex out loud.